Well, you know, I think that we're afraid to do something just for me. No? We're like terrified to be selfish in some way. And we actually weaken ourselves thereby, by that unconscious, unrecognized, unchallenged fear of saying, no, I don't want to do it. I can't do it. I don't want it. I'm not into it. You take care of it. Sorry, I can't. I won't. Because it's not good for me. Now, of course, that's the way everybody else is in the world, right? Except for us. And that's out of balance. Sometimes body generates catalyst that automatically shuts down habitual activities when the mind has proven itself unwilling or unable to do that. You know, it's like, pay me now or pay me later. Stop it voluntarily by wisdom, or have it stopped for you by illness. It's a needed, a necessary balancing, re-interiorization, re-interiorizing yourself, becoming more internal. And the demands of your inner being are no less important than the demands of friends and family. I mean, honestly, the normal path is from instinctively selfish, which is sort of the animal mind, me, I just do everything to take care of myself, to appreciating the value of helping others, to excessively helping others and putting the self lower, to then coming back to some balance where you're not less important than anyone else. This is an interesting thing, you know. Service to self, it's not really service to self, but helping oneself is service to all. Helping yourself is service to others. And saying no to people, sometimes, if it's in line with what you need, and your greater need is service to other too. So saying no to them is service to other. You know, self is not less important than other. Not at all. And it's an important thing for others to learn not to depend on you. You know? It's important for people not to become dependent on the love over wisdom server who's moving back into wisdom balance and will have to bow out of, you know, allowing themselves to be used continually for others, for doing what others should be doing for themselves. These days, I somewhat get angry at people who don't do something for themselves that they should be, but ask me instead. You know? I mean, I'm already at that step, seeing, why are you asking me when you really should be doing it for yourself? And by asking me and having me do it for you, you're basically reinforcing your belief in your inability to do it for yourself. And in some way, me doing it for you reinforces my delusion that I shouldn't say no. Or my fear of saying no. You'll think I'm selfish, or I'll think I'm selfish. So the dreaded to be avoided is self-condemnation in interpreting our rejection of others' demands. Well, I mean, I think that what you're doing is akin to the post-death review time. You're reviewing, and in this case, you're bringing in a more enlightened attitude, or how you wish you had been, a more balanced handling and way of being in the situation. So that's also a kind of magical working, in that time is fluid and yesterday is still occurring and tomorrow is already finished. Of course, tomorrow is already done and yesterday is still alive. So you're still, you know, you're working on the reality of the situation at higher levels, at the, you know, astral level. Time. You're doing time-space work on your own healing to move yourself towards where you wish to be in relation to such situation or catalyst. And it is a kind of white magic too, in that you're affecting the others at the levels of time space now. And if they can receive and use it, then they will move into a more harmonious, balanced state too. Now, so you're really working on today by working on your experiencing of the past. And so it is magic. That's totally magical. And I think it happens often, or it happens sometimes when we're thinking about how it was and how I wished I had been or something. So it's very true. You can change other people. You don't change them, but by changing yourself, you're offering them a different configuration to encounter. And by that, some people may, take the offer and make a corresponding shift in mind too. And I think you have to go step by step or reflection by reflection. I mean, first of all, it seems that there's some incapacity in the part of the people you chose to be there, right? I mean, if that was the case, I would blame myself a little bit and say, why did I choose these people? Or, you know, this is part of what I chose. Oh, well, I guess I couldn't do anything else. So there's some taking responsibility and saying, you know, maybe I didn't choose the right people, or I wish I had chosen someone else, or I didn't realize what I was doing, or I didn't realize what I was getting, or, you know, I wish it hadn't been like that. And then there'll be anger to them, and anger to self, and blame to them, and blame of self. And then there's sadness, and then there's grieving and crying. And from that ultimately could come forgiveness. You forgive yourself for choosing them, you forgive them for being whatever they are, whatever they're not, and understand for some reason that was the choice I made to experience it this way. You know, I'm not sure why, but some responsibility in your choice in co-creating without hating yourself. Right? That's not helpful either. And then accept your loneliness and your isolation, and try to determine what you need. If it's help, physical help, or companionship, or talking with good friends, then you try to do more of that. And you know, you just want to go straight through it. You don't want to go round and round in it. So, you know, let yourself cry and let yourself rage, and don't put it out on people who don't deserve it. If you want to say something, you say something to them. Otherwise, you acknowledge that you've made a bad choice somewhat. I mean, if I choose somebody to be my Chinese doctor and he does something that's really wrong or hurts me, I'm angry at myself more than I'm angry at him. He's an idiot and an asshole, and he shouldn't have been here, but I'm wrong to have gotten him here and put myself under his direction. So, and if it's a hurtful, painful experience, then I would cry or feel sad or whatever, and take responsibility for having created it, and try to make sure I do better for myself next time. You know? And keep a big view that somehow, for some reason, I can't fully take care of myself. Or the universe, you know, higher self, needs me to experience more time with assholes. Yeah, so I mean, I take responsibility for bringing bad people into my life. And pledge to myself to be careful not to bring that in again. And I can't go much further than that with it, actually. I feel bad, I feel angry, I feel sad, I feel hurt, I feel upset, I feel whatever. And it's my fault, because I brought them in. Oh, well, that's just the way it is. You got to go through the evil system, go into it to go out of it, because we're not able to take full care of ourselves at this point in time. We've become dependent on the matrix. So I would acknowledge that too. And you know, and the thing is, I don't want to go around feeling sorry for myself. You know, I don't like that. It's a waste and it's circular. So, you know, what do I need? And can I get it? And what's the problem? And is it something I can change or something I must simply accept and understand as is? And I'll take my fair responsibility. I didn't make them an asshole, but I made them in my life. And I made them in my life to some extent. Maybe it's a little bit, and maybe it's too much. But I did it because I didn't say no. Or I said, you come here. So I would take that responsibility without hating myself. And if it's part of a pattern, I try to recognize, you know, oh, I've done that before. Why am I always doing that? I mean, I don't do that, but because I have very low tolerance for obstructors. But I think, you know, it's further learning of how to take good care of yourself. And getting stuck in blame or self-hatred is not taking good care of yourself. Choosing bad people is also not, but sometimes we don't have another option. Yeah, you don't need to punish yourself, you know? You know, it's people enjoy self-punishment. And I understand that, you know? If I did something like, oh, you know, I buy something and then I realize that I really don't need it, or I'm not going to use it and I just wasted $100 or something, then I blame myself. But I wouldn't blame myself more than I deserve to be blamed. You know? I wouldn't make a hobby out of it. I mean, you know, when the mind is resolved, when the mind works through issues, it becomes quiet again. And if the mind is not quiet now, it hasn't worked through issues yet. That's a rule of thumb for your thumb, which is, you know, it's like the saying, all's well in the end, and if all's not well, it's not the end. Therefore, a clear mind is quiet and peaceful. If my mind is not quiet and peaceful, it's not clear and blockages are not resolved. So, what's my problem? And it may be that I can't let go of the past. I want to hate them. Well, that's fine. Hate, 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 hate. So I'll hate, hate, hate. And at some point I'll get tired of that. And then I don't need it, you know. Then I let myself hate them. And I ate my hate. I had a good big meal of hate. Meaning, I don't need to eat more hate. I don't need more hating. I did it. You know, I let myself hate. And I'm not making a joke of it, actually. I'm saying real. But that doesn't mean I open my mouth to them. It doesn't mean I have any action for them. It just means I let myself hate them deeply. And then at some point, it's bitter, and I don't like it anymore, and I'm finished with it. And then in the future, I realize I don't want to be a hater. No matter what you do, I need not hate you. No matter what you do, I need not hate you. And if you're in my life, I can ask, why are you in my life? And how did I make that happen? And is it possible to unmake that for the bad one in my life, get them out? It's usually possible, but not always. But I tell you, if you're clear and strong sufficiently, assholes hold their tongue. I mean, obstructors choose easier prey than one who's strong and clear and don't take no shit from them. Right? Personally, I sort of like obstructors because I like a free pass at flame throwing. But it's better for me to learn to put down the flamethrower so the universe doesn't send me too many obstructors. But for other people who don't know how to get rid of obstructors, you'll get more. And if you're not taking good care of yourself and you're choosing obstructors, then you really will need to learn how to handle them so you don't keep choosing them in your life, in the case where it's freely chosen, you know. It's important stuff. Yeah, I don't know, you know, I just don't spend time talking to people like that anymore. It's just, I know they can't go there, and they don't really want to go there, and I simply should be finding, if I want to talk about such, I need to find someone who wants to talk about it, not somebody who doesn't. And I'm so disinterested in their false views, that it doesn't matter to me if they hold them. And if there's no interface, then that's just fine. I'd much rather be alone than be engaged with somebody who either wants to argue or doesn't really want to hear what I'm saying. It's fine. I'm happy to leave them. So I mean, we don't want to make trouble for ourselves, you know. We should really be careful how we make trouble for ourselves, because we're always the worst enemy. We're always the one who's making the biggest trouble for ourselves. Always, really, almost always. In some way, for sure. Yes, being with her the way she is was the catalyst to trigger the probably return of a range of feelings you had as a little girl. A lot of fear, number one. A lot of fear and dread, D-R-E-A-D, dread. Dread is deep fear and longer lasting than panic, you know. Strong fear, you know, when fear becomes strong, if it's momentary, it's panic. Or if the panic goes on, has in an acute way, it becomes panic. In a chronic way, it becomes dread. And I know that too. It's very physiological too, very much in the lower viscera. The reason you were having it was because you had it in childhood and didn't heal it till now. That dread represents a lower second chakra blockage, 2.1, very deep down. That was your experience sometimes or often, I don't know, as a child at a young age towards your mother. You were triggered into a states of mind that you had had before. That's why they were so strong. They were so strong. It's just like the analogy of trapped natural gas under the earth, or something that's building up in pressure. It's something that's growing in volume or pressure in a limited space cavern under the earth. After years and years of building up, not having been healed because you didn't want to experience dread, which is normal, extreme panic or terror. Because you're more open now, and because you want to heal more, and because of the fourth density vibration stronger now, the triggering was effective, or you were triggered effectively, so that you could feel it more. And you can even say, at a higher level, it was known then that she would be that trigger for you, so that you would be triggered to feel the dread and deep fear in the deep mind. And if you stay in that, you could have a nervous breakdown or lose it, because that's how people, you know, they become, you know, psychotic paranoia. But you moved into anger, which may have been fine, actually. But it's, you can just assume that that's been in you in the deep mind for a long time. And the gratitude for the expression of deep sorrow, like I talked about deep gratitude for an expression of fear, that I talked about in the past in another talk before, when I just lay down and then put my hands on my lower body, basically lower belly and heart, and appreciated that this was my stuff and it was good that I could feel it and love it and accept it somewhat more in real time. That attitude would be helpful. But I think, that's a holdover. That's called a distortion leaving. When Ra talked about the difficulty of adepts going through all the distortion leavings that the path of adepthood produces, this is a distortion leaving. The remainder from previously established distortions that hasn't been healed yet and is coming up in a kind of fragmented, confused way. The girl always becomes like her mother in some ways. The boy always becomes like his father in some ways. That's very normal. So that's kind of humbling for you to see that. But it's quite helpful. See, again, you have to move back to forgiveness, primarily of self-forgiveness. It all starts with self-forgiveness, actually. So we can't forgive another if we didn't forgive ourselves. And so, okay, I took upon myself some of the patterns of my mother. I mean, I can see I took upon myself some of the patterns of both parents. That's normal, too. And now we have a chance to resolve it or to choose a different way. So it's interesting. She's the stand-in then for your mother, and then you could see how you took upon yourself some of those qualities, and then you could see that you don't want to be that way. That's real growth. That's doing the work. And there's nothing to do with it other than accept it and know it more deeply and be with it and have faith that it's not forever. The other thing is, in the case where I find myself angry at people who are demonstrably not offending, not offensive, and actually sweet and kind, then totally I know it's my problem. But totally I would look further and not try to release. You see, you cannot release blockage, but you can create the conditions by which release occurs naturally. You can't force release. You know, it's like you have water in a boat. Well, if you say release, it doesn't release. The way to release is to create the cause by which release occurs. A cause by which release occurs is to, you know, put a hole in the boat. Or, you know, make an exit ramp there. So the creation of the causes that lead to release, that's what is healing. Healing is, you know, the rebalancing. Healing is rebalancing. The heart of healing is the establishment of the causes of release. The heart of healing is the establishment of causes of release. And so what are the causes of release? Actually, again, back to the old, you know, fourth, fifth ray qualities. The qualities of unconditional acceptance, willingness to feel and be with, some kindness to oneself in the process, and then a seeking deeper to understand, you know, from acceptance and feeling to understanding and knowing to forgiving. 4, 5, 6. So we allow feeling with unconditional acceptance in the fourth ray, which is self-love, which is kindness to self. And then we bring in the mind to move into understanding, which is qualitatively, Ra says, a nature of fourth density or fourth chakra. It's quality of fourth chakra understanding, but it blends nicely into knowing. And so that's the fifth chakra. And that's really understanding the causes. And then we move to forgiveness, which is peace and balance. So that's 4, 5, 6. That's the way, that's the establishment of the causes of release. So in that case, for myself, I would think, what's my problem? You know, why am I pissed at these people who are good to me? It would be from various things. It would be from things that are not really related to them, to their specific actions, but related to my past. Or to general conditions of my present that I'm not fully aware of. Like, you know, I actually have a stomach ache. Or I actually, you know, wish I had a partner. Or I actually, I'm pretty damn angry at those men or women in the past. I'm putting it to your words. It's old anger. But again, it's not either or, it's both and. It's always both and. Always start with both and. And if you discover it's either or, that's okay. But, you know, when in doubt, assume both and. Meaning, it's this and it's this and it's this, all of them, somewhat. And then you can fine tune the observation or understanding to determine the degree or the relative strength of the different factors that are causative. So one is bad experiences with men before. Two is treatment from brothers or family or father or male relatives. Three is, you know, the chronic, you know, put down of women in society. Traditionally, and in a lot of places, patriarchy is emotionally wounding and assaultive to women from day one. Or at least pejorative or diminishing or disrespectful. And women are oppressed. But, you know, men are oppressed too. But women are, you know, there's definitely real misogyny all over the place. So, absolutely. You should, that should be part of it, or that would have to be part of it, inevitably. But to walk around, you know, as a woman, in a society that's moderately misogynistic, paternalistic, or patriarchal, and a lot of men are assholes. Lots and lots. I dislike men often, you know. I think men are a big problem. Of course, unfortunately, those men used to be women, and today's women used to be men. So, unfortunately, they're all the same. But it's not a little thing. So I would look into the causes of my anger, and I would see reactions to the social climate from day one, disdain of how they treat me, plus specific problems in relationship before. Plus a general wounding, you know, anger as reaction to sorrow, anger as a derivative, a defensive, moderately avoidant derivative of sorrow and sadness and loss of love. That's normal. So anger always can be traced back to loss of love, almost always. I mean, even those who get off on anger and love, bloodlust, also are reacting to the pain of loss, of lack of love. It's just so heavily buried and repressed in the deeper personal mind that they'll never get to that. But it's the same thing. Yeah, women are very powerful, you know. Women are much more powerful than men. I mean, women are basically men, and men are little boys. Inside every woman is a strong man, and inside every man is a sweet little boy. Really? I speak with authority. I'm both. So, yeah, these women are great. That's wonderful. Yeah, you see, in the future, you see, some of those women are harvestable, okay? That's what harvestability can look like. Right? You see, some, they may be some wanderers, but They're not angry. They're not trying to hurt anybody. They're serving justice. And they love each other, and they don't need to talk about it, and they help each other, and they're trying to right the wrongs. That's harvestability. And they put their money where their mouth is, meaning they act on their beliefs. So you see, now look at that, and you can look at their life, right? They're on a natty kind of dirt, you know, farm fields in a kind of poor place. But they have community, they have love, they have some, you know, freedom to try to make things better. And they have each other. It's a hell of a lot better than modern urban civilization to me. I've been there, UP, Uttar Pradesh. It's really poor, dry, and the farms are, the land is not great there. I was there, so I know. That's really great. So I would not try to release it. I would try to understand it. And the understanding more deeply with self-love leads to forgiveness, and that is the releasing. Understanding is release. So Ross said, understanding is not of your density. Understanding is really the fourth ray. But the fourth ray and the fifth ray are one. You know, love light is the same. They're just two ways of looking at it. So love light is one, just as blue, green, center, 4, 5 is one. And that activation, or that bringing, the application of the blue, green, center, right, 5, 4. The application of the blue, green, center to personal pain and suffering of all types is the way of healing and release. Definitely. Yeah, it's an interesting thing. Taking care of 24/7 alone like that is similar to the discipline of meditation in a structured way, because it doesn't matter how you feel. You just have to keep sitting. It doesn't matter that I feel hatred and despair, or my body's rocking back and forth. It doesn't matter. My job is to keep sitting, and I have to keep sitting if you're in a monastery, and you have to keep watching the breath. You don't have to, but the job is to put aside self-cherishing. Put aside self-cherishing and go back to the work at hand, and stay with the work at hand, and stay in the work at hand until it's past and you can take a break. So, but it is about, you know, I mean, I think a lot of women are into this. Men are too, but women more so, where I'm upset, and you need to know I'm upset. It's important that I'm upset. I really am upset, and I want to tell you about it, and you should listen to me. Now, that's a kind of emotional identification. I mean, we all, you know, I'm not saying women are better, men are better than women. No, I'm just saying that there are gender-specific patterns of distortion. Men have their own. So, but one that's from women is, you know, my emotional reactivity is important. Important to me and important to you. And actually, it isn't. But, you know, it's good to be listened to, and it's good to be loved and accepted. But we should be careful about confusing proper honoring and caring and listening for unrecognized self-cherishing in the way of self-attachment to emotional confusion. To emotional distortion, emotional blockage, you know? Attachment to emotional blockage don't do no one no good. Yet, it's good to know our feelings and feel them fully and understand them and speak them and have them listened to and have them understood. But emotional attachment to emotional blockage is not good. It's basically being attached to our storyline. You know, so there we can make a little story, we can make a big story about this and that offense against me, or this and that problem. We can make a big story or a little story. It's important to not make a big story, because the story is an attachment, and it's actually a fear or aversion to surrendering to the feeling and surrendering to the helplessness of, you know, the fact that we can't control everything in our life, and we do go up and down, and that's life, and we're actually out of control a lot. And that's the way it really is, right? I can't control many various things about my life. Who can? That's normal. But anger is usually a means of, it's sort of a distorted means of reasserting control. It has its uses, of course, but attachment to emotionality is not helpful for anybody. You know, a quiet or peaceful or light, and light in the way of not heavy. A light mind is actually also, as you say, is the result of some work done. It really is. I was thinking about that yesterday, walking in the supermarket, thinking that, oh, this is very pleasant. You know, just walking in the supermarket. I like watching lots of food, emotional security. Mm-hmm. I starved in a past life, I'm sure. So, and then I realized that, well, you know, maybe 25 years ago, I might have walked through the supermarket and not felt too happy at all. And wouldn't think, oh, how easy, how pleasant. And so it isn't walking in the supermarket that makes easy, pleasant, carefree, and comfortable. You know, it's me. It's the mind. So, me walking through the supermarket feeling happy or cheerful, light, is not because the life is easy. It's because the mind is light. And that is the result of work, and that is a good karma, you know? A peaceful mind or a carefree, not stupid, but carefree mind, yeah, at least temporarily, is the result of heart chakra. You know, that's heart chakra. And more heart, you know, I remember in my school, CIIS, in a kind of group process work in the beginning of the master's program, I didn't talk well, because I had been years in monasteries and didn't want to talk and didn't like talking, and my mouth was flat, you know, not smiley. So, and then I realized that, oh, okay, here's the game. The game is talk about your emotions. Talk about your personal self. Oh, okay, I can do that. I can talk about that personal self thing here. And so then I became very more articulate, because it wasn't natural to me. But I knew that there was a trick to it. And the trick is just, you know, talk about, focus on that. Which is true, but it's not the total self. So likewise, there's sort of, you know, the key to happiness is heart chakra. It's just that simple. That's the trick. You want to be happy? Develop heart chakra. That's all. You want a carefree, light mind, lighter? Develop fourth ray, heart chakra. That's all. And that's funny, you know, because it's simpler than people realize. And then, of course, the way is how to develop heart chakra. You know, we've talked about this a million times. That's self-healing, balance, service to other, you know, taking good care of yourself, being kind to yourself, understanding, accepting your painful emotions, negative, so-called negative emotions, shadow, you know. So if you want happiness, develop heart ray. And if you want carefree mind also. So it's so, and that's the result of work. So that carefree not silly and not gleeful, actually, but happy, cheery, cheerful, is the result of doing inner work, doing, you know, spiritual work or healing emotional blockage. So congratulations. Don't try to hold on to it, and don't compare the present moment to your memory of it. You know, it's not set up as a goal. It's the result of the goal. The goal is working. So the goal is being cleared, clearing mind and heart. Yeah, it will continue to be that way. That's the evolving spiral of consciousness. And it really is, again and again and again, the energy of experience, the energy of catalyst, the kundalini flow from root to crown, again and again and again, of thrusting or flowing upwards, as we meet each new experience, meaning catalyst, to see how well we do. And we do some work, and heart chakra is more open, and the lower two and three are more clear. Then we feel light, and we praise the process, actually. And then more catalyst comes, and we get knocked down, actually, because we still have blockages. And those blockages exist while the glee, or not glee, but cheery mind exists. So in the cheerful, peaceful mind, the blockages remain. But they're not, they haven't been triggered into consciousness by appropriate catalyst. Then we get appropriate catalyst, which means more challenge, more hard times, which can be physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, you know, at any level of our being. And so it goes round and round and round, and that's a spiral, actually, not a circle, because there is further development. Each pass, or each stage of energy passing up through the seven. So the energy path, you know, so I'm remembering in the supermarket 30 years ago, not light mind at all, heavy mind, pained, anguished mind, actually, punctuated by moments of bliss, actually, from meditation, but back to anguish. Because of the intensity of the lower chakra blockages. When those are cleared substantially, then there's longer dwelling in cheerful, light mind. Very simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. And it's basically because we avoid that work that we remain stuck. So all how we're stuck, meaning we have hard time with catalyst, right? We are already stuck. We already have blockages in the main five. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, right? We don't have to worry about 1. We don't have to worry about 7. In the main 5, the primary 5, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th rays. Of course, they're all blocked somewhat. And with each successive pass, which are really stages of life, pass of energy from root to crown, pretty much organized into stages of development over the life, punctuated by actual breakthroughs, punctuated by either collapse or further blocking as a result of inability to handle catalyst, or further expansion of awareness, understanding, through development of love wisdom and, you know, clearance of the lower two. And so that's what life's all about. That's it. The energy flow up root to crown, which is exactly what's happening in moment-to-moment experience of catalysts, some of which we can't handle because we have lower chakra blockages that get stimulated or triggered. And then when we handle, when we move closer to balance again, returning to balance again, which is love, wisdom, development in the face of difficult catalyst, then we enter a new phase of less blocked centers, more a higher point of achievement. It's the meeting place of the inner, the two inner lights Rob talked about, the downward from the crown, which comes naturally, and the upward. The upward's always going up. It's a question of how much goes up from root to crown. So as lower are cleared more, the flow goes higher, or at least you can say the flow makes greater contact with seven. And the result of that is a lighter mind. And, you know, deep mind resolution or deep personal unconscious healing. It's very psychological, too. Anyway, thanks for that. Yeah, it's sort of like that, I guess. It's, you know, you're drinking urine a lot, too, and that helps. That really moves the process faster. Thank you for tonight, and we're ending near on time. Thanks for everybody's comments, and see you next week. Okay, good night. Thank you.